your Friday post game. I'm your host, Malcolm Flesher. That was a great power panel today. Guys, I mean, pretty impressive. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
It dropped.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah.
Wow.
I was really impressed. Very, very insightful.
I don't know why Cenk took off his shirt. That was a little weird when he did that. You know I was a little uncomfortable. Maybe they might not put that on the show. They might have cut the feed.
Yeah, I think that's right where they edited it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sweeps week, you got to do whatever you can. Yeah. And you know that's going to get the eyeballs. They're gonna be falling out of their heads.
It was just like Michael Schur was like a little too into it. Like I don't know what's going on there either.
But when he started shaving Cenk's back, that was unexpected.
I know.
So I'm here with improv.
I no longer endorse this bit. Members, I was on board at first, but nah, I'm out now.
I was just excited to see what happened.
Asher, Ja'Cory, Hassan, you know these two from the Millennial Dumpster Fire Friday post game, and Hassan from his explosion on Facebook and elsewhere, of course, and
the explosion from his mouth that happened.
So Steve and Dave couldn't be here today, so I thought I would ask some of our millennial coworkers to be on the Friday post game and share with us some of their insights on topics ranging from, I don't know, we'll find out. But first, I wanted to explain the image behind us, which is of what, does anybody know?
Dam.
Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam is correct. And the reason we're using Hoover Dam as a backdrop is because September 30th is the 82nd anniversary of the dedication of Hoover Dam, which it's on the border.
Wow.
Why do you?
It's on the border
so Hoover
between.
Hoover Dam is not a millennial.
No.
So.
It's a little bit older than I am. And
by the way, can I just say props to you for actually bringing on millennials to talk about millennials instead of every other news organization that would only have people like Steve and Dave Kohler talk about how millennials are these wretched kids that are ruining society.
I would rather have the audience see for themselves how
garbage we are.
All right, so I looked up, but the interesting thing about the Hoover Dam, a couple things, is it's a concrete arch gravity dam in the Black Canyon of the Colorado River on the border between Nevada and Arizona. It was built between 31 and 36 during the Great Depression and was dedicated by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which I find interesting because Roosevelt succeeded Hoover. And the idea now that any president would go and dedicate something, like, can you imagine Trump dedicating something that was named after Obama?
Yeah, like a landfill. He would be like, this is what I think of Barack Obama's legacy, this landfill.
Sewage treatment plant, maybe.
Right.
Paid for by the Walton family, who I want to give great tax cuts to.
It was, hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know the figure to build it, but it took thousands of workers. And during the course of the construction, 112 workers or people associated with the construction died. And what I find really fascinating about this is the first one to die was a gentleman named J.G. Tierney, a surveyor who drowned on December 20th, 1922 while looking for an ideal spot for the dam. So the dam hadn't been built, they were just looking around, see where. And then the last death on the project's official fatality list occurred on December 20th, 1935. So exactly 13 years later to the day when an electrician's helper named Patrick Tierney fell from an intake tower, and he was the son of the first guy who died.
Wow.
That's a family curse.
God damn it.
That's a family curse.
Exactly 13 years later. So, but nowadays, Hoover Dam is a tourist spot. About a million people visit every year. Have you ever been? Anybody been?
Holy crap. I want to be that person. I want to be the guy who's like, I want to go visit this dam.
You want to be one of millions?
Yeah.
You just got to set higher goals.
Do you not understand how fascinating that is, though? You get what I'm saying, right? Like someone who's like, I want to go
Hoover
see
Dam?
The Hoover Dam.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's been realized for a while now that the Hoover Dam is an amazing technological advancement.
Yeah. It's very fascinating to me that people would go like look at that, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, just look at it. It's pretty impressive.
Amazing. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
If you've never been Lake Mead, which is was created by the damming of the Colorado River, is a great recreation spot. It's a lot of fun. Highly recommend it.
So you're telling me that your sandwiches after work are like Snapchat, Instagram worthy, but like the Hoover Dam is not worth going to see? Like it's just not worth checking
Absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing up my sandwiches.
I just wanted to clarify.
They are also engineering marvels.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
But shout out to Griffin. This actually wasn't new information to me. Griffin's, for some reason, his tagline is the Hoover Dam is built on the bodies of the Irish, which apparently a lot of Irish immigrants had come to America at that time during the FDR administration, and they were put to work building the Hoover Dam.
And Griffin like a Proud Boy or something?
No, like, Griffin is just a history
Griffin
buff.
Is a vampire, and he's been around for a very long time.
Yeah, actually, he's witnessed all of history.
He has not aged, and I've known him since he was 12.
Yeah,
right. When he started working for the Young Turks.
1,200 years old.
I mean, cut that. Yeah.
The reason why he's so into the Irish and how they were the suffering of the Irish workers on the Hoover Dam is because he was put to work here at age 12.
Yeah, that's why he's real bitter about it.
And relate.
He understands the point.
No Chinese were allowed to work.
Oh, Jay Tierney, man, I'll never get him back.
So no Chinese were allowed to work on the dam because
why?
And virtually no African Americans either, because there were bans on Chinese workers in the 1930s. Because of the Depression and racism, obviously.
Back when America was truly great.
There you go. So that's all we need to do is ban the Chinese and get more Irish immigrants in here.
Except
and we can make
that'll
again.
Never happen. Jared Kushner needs to sell his fucking shit fire of 666 Wall Street or wherever the fuck his stupid building is. Was it Fifth Avenue?
I don't know where the building is, but the one that he's like $400 million
in Jared Kushner. Yeah, that's Jared Kushner's main goal now is just to travel to China and see how many people he can polish off before they are like, okay, we'll fucking buy your building. That's the entirety of our relationship with China.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
That sums it all up.
That's basically it.
There's nothing more to our relationship.
But the other thing I wanted, we usually like Dave. By the way, for those who don't know, we record these on Thursday because on Friday everyone wants to get out of here. So we record. So if anything happened in the intervening 24 hours, and we're not talking about it. That's why. And that's why we were joking so hilariously about how we, you know, what had gone on in the Friday. A power panel.
Wait, so what did I watch if I didn't see Jake's back get shaved by Michael Schur?
That might be, those may be your home movie.
I think it was a fever dream of mine.
I was
going to
say, it was a collective fever dream that everyone had at the same time.
It's got really ayahuasca, man.
And now you all have had it as well. So, but we like to talk about inside baseball. Is there any inside baseball that you guys want to share with us? Anything going on behind the scenes? We're opening up the next office next door is going to be open up. We're going to the mad rush for desks.
That's not happening? That's not information that I'm aware of. That is, I've heard the office next door is still locked and no employees should be going over there.
Thus. Are you just saying that to secure your own spot?
Yes.
Everyone is turning against everyone.
I have made zero active moves because I already know that anything I request is going to be deemed insanely inappropriate. So they're like, no, we're not going to give you anything. Here's a trash bin that you can sit on for the rest of your fucking career at TYT.
I just don't get where you thought the jacuzzi was going to go. Where would that actually fit in an office?
I'm just saying it would have improved the ambiance greatly.
I'm not saying it wouldn't. I'm just where would
imagine, like, look, we had a billionaire in the studio earlier today on Thursday, and if we had a jacuzzi, he would probably tell his other billionaire friends we'd have more billionaires in the studio, overall improving TYT.
So you think we should do the interviews from a jacuzzi?
Okay, first of all, I think it's a fucking great show. Just a bunch of out of shape political dudes just sitting around in a jacuzzi talking about politics, I guess.
You lost me.
I think Hot Tub Talk is an actual show. I've seen it on Everything's Terrible or something like that.
Yeah, it's not a radical notion.
It's a good watch.
All right, well, since nobody's got any actual inside baseball to talk about except for this made up stuff about having a jacuzzi. Or Haas being able to make a request of any kind for where he would sit.
I asked to park in the parking lot. I'm going to call out Dave Kohler right now because he's not fucking here.
Dave Kohler's
and it's
America.
Time to speak some truth to power. I am unionizing TYT right now with these powerful words. Dave Kohler, we're coming for you, man. I can't park in the parking lot now that we have the entire parking lot to ourselves once out of every 4 months. I don't ask for much. Just to sometimes park there. Sometimes I need to run into the bathroom, okay? I come in after a long journey from my house over here, and I have to use the bathroom very quickly, and Dave Kohler is immediately on me. He's like, why are you parking there? What are you doing?
Since the man's not here to defend himself, I'll do it. So first of all, this conversation is stupid. There's an entire parking lot full of parking spaces that we just bought for all the employees. I don't even get why we're talking about this. The parking lot out there is for executives, and you're not an executive, so I don't get why this conversation.
When I park, I park across two spots. I usually just park across two spots.
Yeah, Malcolm, an executive, will park on two spots and then point to me and go, "You can't have this."
Yeah, don't even touch my Celica. Don't even look at it.
This is an advertisement for riding your bike to work, folks, because I actually park the closest to the door out of anybody here.
Yeah,
this
he parked true. Inside the door.
I park inside the door sometimes because I have a bike.
Because you can't.
Do that.
All right, so what that aside.
Good segue, Malcolm.
I'm glad we got that cleared up. So we're not going to play Weekly World News today. I have a different quiz set aside for today for my millennial coworkers, and I'm calling it tentatively the pre-millennium history quiz. And what basically it consists of 10 questions, and some of them are fill in the blank, others are multiple choice. That's why you have the dry erase boards.
If it's a quiz, I got to turn my laptop off.
Yeah. You can't be cheating.
No cheating. This is like bar trivia. Bar trivia. Rules.
Hang on. Let me look that up.
Oh wait. I also brought something that I think might help us because I think Hassan has like an unfair advantage. So I brought us a bunch of rings.
Hey. Power rings.
Can I keep them?
No, not for you, son. You already got your own.
These are
you have your power.
I don't even have gold ones though. Mine are whack.
I mean, it sounds like a personal problem to me. You know what I mean? So,
also, Jacory of JNA is literally right here. He is responsible for all of my power.
Right.
We all know this.
Figuring it out.
Those of you diehard fans of the post game are already aware that Jacory is one half of the JNA show. And they are the reason why I have any sort of Instagram notoriety. It's their careful coaching throughout the years.
We have constructed this monstrosity. And I'm sorry for the first time.
I'm ready. I took my pen out.
Okay, so you also should have four pieces of paper with A, B, C, and D on them. Yeah. So those are for the multiple choice questions.
Okay.
And basically what I did is I compiled questions based on things that happened before most of you, probably any of you, were born, but that were culturally significant, political, this is a world of sports, world of entertainment, and which have some, if you know, maybe only marginal, but some lasting legacy today. So it's possible you may know about them. You may get them all wrong. You may get them all dong, like Haas is doing right now in his picture. Is this legal? Can we cut to that? There we go.
Oh wait, let me
I shaded it. Light is coming like from this angle. From this angle, as you can see here, if you want to go on my one again, but it's coming from this angle and there's shade in the
this
back.
This is pretty sophisticated stuff.
It's funny, ha ha.
I'll be sure to.
Is this a normal reoccurring theme with?
No, it's just reinforcement that, yeah.
Don't say that. I just got yelled at for that.
Don't worry, Haas won't be back. But anyway, let's get to it. So 10 questions. Answer them as best you can. If you don't know, it's all right. There's no punishment. There's no penalty. But the first question, and we'll bring them up on the screen for the pre-millennium history quiz, is number one. In 1984, Democratic presidential candidate Walter Mondale criticized his primary opponent, Colorado Senator Gary Hart, by quoting what burger chain ad slogan? This is a fill in the blank. See if you remember.
Are you writing it? He's not even doing it. Oh, this is a fill in the blank.
Yeah, it's a fill in the blank.
Oh, fuck.
Notice I went to a lot of trouble with the background. You see what that background is?
It's avocado toast. What do you mean? I felt it. I felt the presence of avocado toast around me.
It should help you.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Do we have answers? Gigi's going to be playing in the control room. Gigi, you playing? Playing along at home? You can please play along at home. You can come back to us, Irma. You don't have to.
Hold on. I'm almost done.
All right. You get 10 points for the fill in the blank and 5 points for the multiple choice. So let's. What are our answers? Asher, you say, where's the beef? Jacory says, where's the beef? And Haas says, Arby's, we have the meats.
Sick.
Let's
sick,
bro.
And the correct answer is. Where's the beef? That's 10
points. This was actually multiple choice.
No.
Why does it say A
then?
So
we have some video that goes along with this. Let's see, Irma, can you run that for us, please?
Oh my God.
Yes, we know it's a big fluffy
bun. Talk to the manager.
It is the manager.
Where's the beef?
He's putting us under the supervisor.
If you ask me, which you didn't, we should call the owner.
At Wendy's, the hamburger we modestly call a single has more beef than the Big Mac or Whopper.
We've got the owner.
Hello? Where's the beef?
Wendy's kind of people never ask, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody there. I really don't.
Or maybe.
And then we go to that
or
was.
Maybe she doesn't know how to use a telephone, lady. You thought about that?
That was huge. That was hugely popular ad campaign. Clara Peller, the late Clara Peller, became famous for the ad slogan. And then at a debate in 1984, Democratic presidential debate, here's Walter Mondale.
What's new about coming out for entrepreneurs? You know, when I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Yeah. If
totally rob this guy of all of his aesthetic. Like,
that dude was like the smooth Trump. He like knew how to read the crowds.
He was waiting all day to
He's waiting.
Donald Trump would have probably been like, "Where's the beef?" and then like started yelling at every single person about their flaws.
Donald Trump doesn't, I mean, he prepared something. That's more than Donald Trump ever did, I think. So, okay, so that was where's the beef, which you never heard that expression before, huh?
Not only am I a millennial, but I also wasn't in this country until 8 years ago. So I have a very serious disadvantage in this instance for this quiz.
Haas is going to be lucky if he gets any points. Move on to question number two, which is... The Iran-Contra scandal involves selling arms to Iran to be funneled to the rebel army attempting to overthrow what country? This is multiple choice. Was it A, El Salvador, B, Guatemala, C, Nicaragua, or D, Namibia?
Shout out Namibia one time.
So then you guys can pick out your show the camera your selection.
Wait, can you put the answers back on? I totally forgot.
They're A, El Salvador, B, Guatemala, C, Nicaragua, and D, Namibia. Make sure you have picked correctly. The Contras. Where were the Contras? All right, do we have our answers?
I'm gonna make this up.
All right, we have our guesses.
I should know.
Asher guesses C, Nicaragua. And what is the correct answer, Irma?
Wow.
Nicaragua, yes. Well done, guys. Good for you. That's 5 points each. And
despite being the youngest in the world, we have this cool thing called the internet. So like, you know.
I also learned that in school. Like, I took a class and
again, did not have US history, but you know, whatever.
Listen, I learned that any point you get is gravy.
I learned that in an international relations class.
Okay, why don't we?
Also, I was not born in this country either,
Let me have this, please.
Listen, I was stoned through most of this stuff, so I shouldn't know
anything. Have you seen the movie Argo?
Yes.
It's also in Argo, that's true,
yes. Malcolm's the cool dad.
Yeah, cool dad. All right, question number three.
Don't let his bowling shirt fool you.
In 1981, crazed gunman John Hinckley Jr. shot President Reagan in an effort to impress what actress? Was it A, Jodie Foster, B, Susan Sarandon, C, Faye Dunaway, or D, Jane Wyman? Jodie Foster, Susan Sarandon, Faye Dunaway, Jane Wyman. And we have a personal connection.
I know.
One of those actresses anyway. No, two of them. Two of them have been in our studio.
Well, one, I
was your intern.
He was my intern. My intern's mom.
We don't necessarily want to too much. All right, what are our answers? We have an answer from...
Come to me last.
All right, House, what do you got?
I'm making it
up. You're going with D, Jane Wyman. A, Jodie Foster.
See.
C, Faye Dunaway. The correct answer, we have an A from Edwin. The correct answer is A, Jodie Foster.
Up, really?
Yeah, man.
She's not interested in you. Come on.
if you've seen the movie Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro's character is obsessed with Jodie Foster, who is a teenage prostitute. So John Hinckley was sort of reproducing that on a larger scale by shooting the president.
This is going to be a hard quiz.
By the way, never mind. I was going to say, how do you, what part of your brain fires this synapse where you think, if I try to murder someone, you'll finally want to have sex with me, person who will never be in my vicinity.
The human brain is a very complex thing that can just fire.
I mean, the crazy thing is it worked. They dated for 3 years.
Chemicals are a crazy thing, man. Yeah.
He was barking up the wrong tree for a number of reasons with Jodie Foster. But anyway, all right, question number four. Which American athlete won the men's decathlon gold medal at the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal? This is fill in the blank. There is no, you do not get a... no multiple choice on this one, but it's worth 10 points. So Gigi is jumping up and down, so she knows. Bart, are you just like, these are so ridiculously easy?
Can I give a hint?
Yes. No, you may not give a hint.
It's a good one.
No hints. After they give their answer.
Just for the record, Gigi has been correct on all the answers in the booth.
Smart girl.
That's why she wasn't invited on. All right, come on. Do we have answers? Do you have an answer at home? Do you know? 76 Olympics. I mean, who remembers even that? That was 41 years ago. This is crazy. All right, our answer is Asher. Your answer is?
Whatever Gigi says.
Oscar Pistorius. And Zecori says Bruce Jenner. And the correct answer is
whatever Gigi says.
Bruce Jenner.
That's correct, Ja'Cory. Jumping out another 10 points. We have images. I don't know if
you've
seen.
I think he set the world record. No. Or has the record been broken?
I don't think he set the world record, but he did win the gold medal. So we have images, Irma, of Bruce. So there he is at the Olympics. And then I think I also got an image of him on the stand, in the medal stand. There he is. So yeah, he won. He won the gold medal, and that's he was on the Wheaties box. He was hugely famous and popular, and now he is hugely famous.
She
popular.
Is.
She is.
You just misgendered
famous.
Her.
Right, I did. I wasn't really sure how to explain. You know, whatever. Let's move on. Question number 5. Ja'Cory jumping out to a commanding lead. Before breaking into the movies, John Travolta starred on what hit TV sitcom? Was it A?
Is this a fill in the blank?
Oh, dope.
Thank
right,
God.
Okay, Jesus
Three's Company. B. Welcome Back, Kotter. C. The Jeffersons. Or D. Golden Girls.
Got it.
He played. He did. He went in drag in Hairspray, right?
Yes.
But
that was very recent.
But that's not Golden Girls.
That's what he had. The swollen alcohol head.
Swollen alcohol head. It's a terrible, terrible thing. SAH syndrome. All right, you've got your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Says his answer. We have our answers. All right, let's show them. We have answer C, A, and B. So somebody's two people have to be wrong. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is.
It's definitely B.
Yes.
Welcome back, Kotter.
No, Asher came in so hot. Like I knew that she was right. Like I'd never seen so much conviction from a person.
We have
before.
we have a image from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
There it is. There, Gabe Kaplan as the star.
Oh,
the
chin.
With Epstein, Washington, Horshack, Ron Horshack, Ron Palillo. I mean, that's Horshack and Arnold Horshack and John Travolta. And do you know? You're not going to get any extra points for this, but do you know any of the catchphrases from this? The main catchphrase from the show?
I cannot think of it off the top of my head.
I'm walking here.
Close. That's Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy, but close. It is from the 70s. No, it's up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yes.
Up your nose with a rubber hose was the catchphrase. From
was this pre-Scientology or post-Scientology, John?
I don't know. I don't know when he got into Scientology. It was.
Can we also admire how attractive John Travolta is?
Let's take a look again, shall we?
Ew.
Irma, what do you think?
Yeah, that chin though. You could fall in that chin.
Yeah,
that's like a.
Well, this was real.
From store
this,
quarters in there. Look at that thing.
Did nobody talk about how they stashed the sixth Jackson brother there though? That dude is definitely one of the Jacksons.
That was pre-Scientology, guys.
Tell me not.
Oh, gee, the catchphrase is right on the board,
yeah,
like
up
right
your nose
behind.
Rubber hose. Yeah, it's right there.
Oh wow.
So
I always write my catchphrases on chalkboards. It's so relatable and real.
So John Travolta left the show to do after he did Grease and Saturday Night Fever, which were two huge movies, and he became after that he was a movie star.
Which he. In Greece, they also say up your nose with a rubber.
Do they?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I feel like it. That's
back when
thing.
Copyright restrictions Maybe. Were looser.
Right? All right, question number 6.
Before the rings are really here. Working, and I'm
yeah,
kind of pissed off about it.
You thought the double pinkies were a joke.
I right. know your secret now.
Yeah,
what 70s era baseball player nicknamed Mr. October had a candy bar named after him? Was it A, Reggie Jackson, B, Mike Schmidt, C, Willie Stargell, or D, Fred Snickers Snodgrass? See, Asher and Ja'Cory, I think, have the benefit of knowing that the D answer is never correct.
I was literally gonna do D.
I know,
and I thought it's too obvious, and there's no way he would just like put Snickers in there to throw me off the scent.
There was a player, a baseball player from the 20s named Fred Snodgrass, but his nickname was Muff. Fred Muff Snodgrass because he made a terrible error in the World Series. But do we have our answers?
Yes.
Asher's answer is C. C.
Ja'Cory cheated. Ja'Cory cheated.
Cheater. You can't.
Ja'Cory
no.
cheated.
That's my
It's
answer.
On camera.
And the correct answer is A. Reggie Jackson.
Oh, you had the right answer, you
yes,
idiot.
Yes, that's what you get for cheating.
Stuck with it.
Edwin got it right.
Did you know?
I got it right.
But
too,
did you?
But I panicked last second.
Mr. October unit. So let's see the Reggie. There they are.
Switch
Reggie Jackson.
The majority.
Back when a candy bar only cost 25
you
know. Cents.
I love that you had the right answer and you switched it when you saw us both doing C.
Karma. Yeah.
Like whose idea was it for you to cheat off the two people who are doing worse than you?
You know, I got lazy. I got complacent in the front.
Yep.
Who's ahead now? Still Ja'Cory.
Still me.
Ja'Cory's still kicking ass. Haas got one right though. All right.
There
so
you
question
go.
Number
there
7.
You go, sport.
Question number 7. In 1983, the United States invaded what Caribbean island country? Was it A,
Is this Cyprus?
Trinidad, B, Grenada, C, Martinique, or D, Hawaii? This is 1983. Caribbean island country. Edwin, you know this one? Edwin just nodding. Gigi, you know this one?
It almost seems like...
Stop cheating, Gigi.
Yeah, she's
cheating. B, Grenada.
No, we don't want to hear your answer. Let them give their answer.
I'm actually winning this. I've gotten 4 right out of the 6 questions.
That is true.
She all got right. the Reggie Jackson one incorrect. That was not her first answer.
No. It was my first answer, and then I changed it to D.
Somebody killed Gigi's mic. Yeah. All right, let's have your answers. What do we got here? We got an answer of B, B, and B. And the correct answer is...
Business Bureau.
B, Grenada. Very good. Correct. Ronald Reagan invaded and ostensibly to save the lives of medical students there after a coup, but it was really because the Cuban influence over the government of Grenada that had staged the coup. Anyway, so let's move on. Number 8. Which former SNL cast member popularized the catchphrase "making copies"?
Can you define popularized?
We wouldn't know it if it hadn't been popularized. Was it A, Rob Schneider, B, David Spade, C, Adam Sandler, or D, Steven Xerox? Yeah, hide your answer. Don't let Shakuri cheat off your wrong answer again. That'd be terrible.
So D's never right.
Steven Xerox? You think it might be Steven Xerox?
Yeah.
Well, famous, you can always guess it.
Famous comedic actor, Steven Xerox.
All right, what's your answer?
Shakuri,
you have to give yours first. B, A, and A. What is the correct answer? It's A, Rob Schneider.
Woo, let's go.
Deuce Bigelow
himself. Let's go. Rob Schneider is a stapler. Maybe that's where
this is. This is what he looked like back then when he was really young.
Yes.
The Richmeister, making copies. Making copies was a huge catchphrase. And I would recommend you go back and watch some of those.
Yeah, Rob Schneider was a really attractive dude.
They're pretty funny. I forgot
how attractive he was.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Who knew he would shoot
Deuce Bigelow?
He would shoot to superstardom in the 8 Deuce Bigelow movies. All right, we got 2 left. Question number 9. What, and this is a multiple choice, what unexpected event occurred during Michael Jackson's taping
already.
Of a 1984
multiple
Pepsi
or
commercial?
Fill in the blank.
Was it A? A fan who snuck in and passed himself off as a background dancer wound up appearing in the commercial. B, his pet chimpanzee Bubbles ran off with a boom microphone. C, he suffered second degree burns when his hair caught on fire. Or D, he tore off and ate the head of a live bat.
By the way, D is real. It's just
Michael Osborne.
Wrong musician.
Yeah.
Ozzy Jackson.
All right, we have answers. We have answers. Answers of C, C, and C.
This is an easy one. This is an easy one.
Don't complain. The correct answer is... C, he suffered secondary burns.
Guy gets his second answer right.
Caught on fire. And we have some very low resolution video of this as well. So let's take a look at that.
I remember gathering. Kendrick Lamar from the, come on, get it? Because humble.
So, all right, last one. But that would be, so that's the cultural event of the 80s, basically, that you're saying everyone, even who was born after the 80s, still knows.
Right.
Or at least one of them.
I wouldn't say the one.
But it's one. It's on this quiz anyway.
It's the only one. The rest of my 80s, not.
That incident actually kicked off his painkiller addiction.
Right, that's exactly, which led to his death eventually.
Why does Gigi know the most about this, like, pop culture trivia from the 80s?
She's got access to a computer.
I'm just really good at trivia.
It's the internet.
I watch way too many game shows.
All right, last question. Cheating. This is fill in the blank, everybody. Last question. Wow. Question number 10. Who was the legendary host of The Tonight Show from 1962 to 1992? The host's name, who was it, worth 10 points? Whom could it be?
We have to write it down?
Yeah, this is the fill in the blank. I'm sorry.
I'm definitely wrong, and I don't even care at this point. I should just make a funny one instead.
But there's also an extra credit, so don't throw away your... Your magic
David record. Letterman?
We're not
answering.
Do you know how the game works? How they answer first? Have you figured that out yet? This is why you'll never make it onto the big stage. All right, what is our answer? Haas's answer is David Letterman, Johnny Carson. The
Carson.
Correct answer is... we have an answer. Do we have an answer?
Yeah.
Johnny Carson. All right,
David Letterman was...
Next one is extra credit, though. Did I don't know if I have a grab. After who was his longtime co-host?
Andy Richter. He's been alive the whole time.
It's a longtime co-host. Do we know? Does anybody know?
I know Phil Hartman's like impersonation of
yes,
him.
Yes.
I don't know his name.
All right, if you don't know, the answer is Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
And here we have an image of Johnny and Ed in the later years. Yes. There's Johnny and Ed.
Yes.
So
that's funny. That's I look at that and I say that's funny to me. Where is the God damn it.
Just white dudes. Hilarious.
Wow. Well, the final in the
nothing right? final accounting like winner is the old white guys.
Ja'Cory with 35 points. Asher close second. 30 points.
Oh.
Hoss bring up the rear with 15.
Damn. Nice.
Well done, everybody. Good job.
What do I win?
What about the sense of self-satisfaction that you're already you're aglow with?
No, I
watch out. Your hair might catch on fire. You're doing so tremendously with this. So thank you for playing the game. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you did well at home. For people of my generation, I would like to know whether you thought these questions that they should know this stuff or that this should be obscure, or if you're a millennial yourself, if you didn't know any of it or if you did know some of it. Because compiling them, I had no idea whether you guys would know any of this stuff. And I'm actually pretty impressed, especially Haas, considering you were 18 before you even came to this country. So for you to know even some of them is pretty good. So
thank you for giving
you guys
me
did
that.
A good job. You guys, well done.
Oh, thanks.
All right, so before we have to go, I want to get to the last game of the for the day's activities. What is it in Step Brothers? What do they call them? There's the movie Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and the.
We know what the movie is.
Is it Activities? They say
yeah. So much room for activities.
Activities. Okay. Yes. So many activities. So the next one is a little game we call Totally True or Totally Bullshit with Steve-O and Malcolm Fletcher. I believe there is an opening intro.
I'll be Steve-O.
That's the best thing this network has ever produced. And so Steve's not here today, but the way we play Totally True or Totally Bullshit, for those of you at home and here on the panel who don't know, is I will put forward a proposition and then we will debate. Is it A?
Totally true.
Or B?
Totally bullshit.
Exactly. And our theme of Totally True and Totally Bullshit is what?
Nuance.
We don't do nuance, just like our former president George Bush. We don't do nuance, and then when we're answering the questions, we do actually go on to do nuance. So this is a millennial edition of the Totally True or Totally Bullshit with Steve-O and Malcolm Fletcher. And the first question, the first proposition is as follows. While frequently misdirected and inaccurate, certain elements of the widespread criticism of millennials are spot on. Totally true or totally bullshit. Now, I sent these to you guys ahead of time. I don't know if you had a chance to look at them.
I didn't, because I wanted to maintain integrity and make sure that
you wanted to get all the answers wrong, not just on the quiz.
Oh, there's a right to this super fucking subjective question.
All right, so that's my question. I'll put it to you first, Asher. Is it totally true or totally bullshit that some of the widespread criticism of millennials, it's actually pretty much true?
I think it's totally bullshit.
It's
totally bullshit.
None of the criticisms are true. They're all off base.
Shoot.
Too late.
I think
you gotta
they're
argue.
Off base. I think they're misdirected. I think there's a lot of a lot of talk of millennials ruining things, mm-hmm. but really it's just there's always an older generation who sees change and sees that as ruining things. Like for example, immigrants are ruining America, and really that's like the America is changing before you, and you're uncomfortable with that because you don't feel as safe. So I feel it the same way that millennials are a generation that are getting older and are taking over more things, and other people see changing things as ruining things, but they're actually just changing, and we're evolving, and we're kind of leading that.
So you're saying that the criticism that millennials are quote unquote ruining everything is just older people who are uncomfortable with change, mm-hmm. but.
Older generations or people who have their mindset in older generations.
But what about some of the specific criticisms like, you're always on your phones or you're ruining relationships, your hookup. Well, we got another question about hookup culture if we get to it. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the criticisms that we're talking about? I mean, you're generally speaking ruining the world. That's very broad and subjective. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the most common millennial, short attention span Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like,
yeah, just list them out. We'll
as I'm playing, like, as I'm like already out of the conversation and playing with a piece of paper here, like, short attention.
You're all spinning your fidget spinners and everything.
Yeah.
So okay, well, so you say no, they're wrong, and it's just old folks like me who are uncomfortable with change.
Yeah, I think things change. I think every generation changes their way of doing things.
But that doesn't mean that the criticisms are not true.
You may think that the old ways were right, though. So I stand
right. It can be, the criticisms can be valid, but they're not bad things.
This is a very strange debate show.
All right, Jacory, what do you think? Totally true or totally bullshit?
Are you attacking Asher so much?
Shut up!
I'm shitting millennial.
She's dodging the question. Totally true or totally bullshit? I'm just kidding. You're not. You're answering the question very perfectly.
Answer the question. Yeah,
you did a great job, Asher.
All right, Jacory, totally true or totally bullshit?
I'm actually going to go with totally true.
You say totally true. What are the criticisms that you think are valid?
I think. Well, the nuance of the question itself was like why I said totally true, because it says in itself, like, what is it, incorrect and misdirected?
Yes, some of them are misdirected, some of them are misguided, some of them may be inaccurate, but some are still right on.
Right.
Asher says no. Stupid question. Next.
I think some are dead on, but I think a lot of them ignored the reasoning behind it. Like, we're always on our phones, right? But we're always on our phones using connectivity to connect with people all over the world, to connect with experiences, tell stories, hear stories, and deliver information and content, and to really connect with each other worldwide. I can't see how that's a bad thing in any way. We get a lot of, stuff for like killing certain economies, certain restaurants and stuff like that. Some restaurants
don't go to
need
chain
to
restaurants,
die.
You don't go to theme parks. You don't buy this. Exactly. You don't buy that.
You know, but chain restaurants haven't really tried to keep our business. They've stayed with the same product over a course number of years, and that's not what we want anymore. So the market's responding. Deal with it.
They're not offering avocado toast, obviously.
They are, but they're charging too much for it. That's the problem.
Right, and so if you're the criticism that you're not buying this product or that product or not supporting these kinds of businesses, but at the same time you don't have money to do that, then it's sort of outlandish to suggest that you should.
Right.
So it's almost like the people that you agree with, you're not attacking at all. I'm just trying to get the hang of this.
I was trying to synthesize Asher's point and then move on to the next one.
I feel the same. Of course, but no, I don't feel attacked.
I feel attacked.
I think I'm saying the same thing that Jacory is. So I think I'm saying that it's bullshit because it's not. I mean, it's a fact, but it's like it shouldn't be a criticism. I think that the changes that are happening are positive and good, and we're still a very productive generation. More so, you know, maybe
you just want to defend millennials. You don't want to be part of the, you know, jump on the pile on like people like me who say you guys are ruining everything and I hate you and you should all die. But what about like you go to a restaurant and you see like six millennials all sitting at a table. Now, occasions that they do actually go to restaurants, and they're all just sitting on their phone.
No, that's a straw man, dude.
I don't think that's actually a generational thing. I mean, my generation people do that too.
I think Donald fucking Trump.
Right. That's a straw man. That's, and beyond that, it's, I'm really kind of done with the people that are like, get off your phone for 1 second. I mean, unless you follow me around for the entire day and you realize that I'm probably one of the least phone busy persons. I was at Venice Beach recently and I was walking down the street and meeting up with friends, and I don't have my phone on me very often. It's not something I cling to. And I took it out for 30 seconds to check where my friend was, and some dude's like, is it so much to ask to get off your phone? So like I said, it's misdirected.
Slap him in the mouth after he said that?
I completely laughed because it was misdirected, because he has no idea actually how much I'm on my phone. It doesn't actually apply to my life.
Even if you were on your phone nonstop, why is that his problem?
Yeah.
Right. Chill the fuck out, bro.
Slap the avocado toast out of your hand. It's like,
and you were like, wait a minute, this is what I spent my money on instead of my mortgage.
I honestly think that older generations are also on their phone all the time. Yeah. If I go home and I visit my parents, like both of them were just sitting at dinner and they're both on their phones. My dad's answering emails, my mom's looking at Instagram. You know what I mean? And I'm the one who's just like, I'm glad I came to visit.
No, you should do what my generation does when a couple have been together for a long time and they go out to dinner, they just sit there in silence and stare off into space.
Yeah, the dining dead. That's my favorite pastime.
How much sadder is that than if they were on their phones?
I mean, I think it updates with every generation. I'm sure there are people that when newspapers came out, they're like, what? No, we just just talk to our friends about what's going on in the neighborhood. Why do we need to read that? Your face is always buried in paper. You're crazy. It's the updated thing. It's an incredibly useful tool. It is the advancement of technology, like the epitome of it. And I'm not gonna slow down my usage of it because somebody's uncomfortable with.
But that's just one. That's just one critique. Yeah. I mean, you're saying maybe it's valid that you're on your phones a lot, as is everybody. But there's not the negative connotations are not as strong or even
right. Like the nuance behind it. What are we using our phones to do? And are we really on it that much, or is it just more than you're comfortable with? What's your scale of being on your phone? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
All right, Haas, what do you got? Totally true or totally bullshit to you, Haas?
I'm going
to
do my best Steve-O impersonation and say, totally bullshit.
The bit was named after Steve.
That was awful.
Yeah, that was not good. Yeah, it's bullshit. I can't believe you would advance such a sweeping generalization of an entire generation and try to think that any of those stereotypes will stick. Just like my two colleagues here that are also great accurate representations of millennials have mentioned, there are these same problems within every single generation. The biggest millennial, in your own words, if you read Culture Schlock, is fucking Donald Trump, who is a narcissistic, industry killing, nonstop tweeting asshole. And that is
short
attention span, thin skinned. These are all things, if you watch any sort of think piece writer that is over the age of 40, every single time there is a story about millennials, like that's what they say. They're like, millennials are narcissists. Millennials are self-involved. They hate themselves.
They can't handle criticism.
They don't have sex.
Everybody Wins a Trophy Day, so they can't handle criticism.
Yeah. And it's absolutely preposterous. And of course, every generation has those people. And it's stupid.
Right. So I think you're kind of agreeing with it, though.
No, like I completely disagree with it because those people just identify as millennials. It singles out millennials as if like
right. So it's
the case.
But that's not saying that it's not true about other generations. To say it's like this is true about millennials isn't saying it's not true about anybody else.
No,
it's
but if you're looking instant, at if you're looking at it from the scope of an entire generation, then that's the reason why I'm saying it's totally bullshit. Do you see what I mean? Because an entire generation, it's not true for an entire generation.
It's not. And I don't think it's saying
and just
it
because
I think
a
it was saying
certain
that some,
piece of that generation and it exists in every other generation. Is criticized for one thing, that doesn't make it true for the entire generation, and that's the reason why I'm saying it's totally bullshit.
Right. I think that question is very nuanced in the way it was worded, in the way it said some and inaccurate and misdirected. Mm-hmm. It left a lot of room for.
Yeah.
It almost seems like it's the purpose of this entire thing.
Well, the point is to have launch a discussion.
Yeah.
One thing that I think it was a part of this whole phenomenon is that my generation, Generation X, when I was your age, we got criticized for being. I'm not sure if it was the same exact criticisms because obviously we didn't have the digital technology and all that sort of thing. But we were lazy and we didn't have the same values and we were criticized. But we didn't have the internet, which allows the criticism of millennials to just be propagated everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so
you guys didn't have Wall Street Journal think pieces?
Well, no, there would be Wall Street Journal think pieces, but you couldn't read that and then forward it along to a million
on your
people.
Email chain of like conservative moms against America.
Right. I mean, there was, but you had to send like letters and it wasn't as the debate. Was not as broad and constant, and you weren't under this kind of assault because there wasn't the internet for everybody to go to and be like, yeah, fuck those millennials, and just constant commenting and YouTube and all that. It wasn't there for the criticism to be omnipresent. So I think that's one of the downsides for millennials is that not only are you subjected to the same kind of criticism, but it's put out there much more because of the availability, everyone's access to it in the internet.
Yeah, and the criticisms are stupid.
I think the proof's in the pudding, man. We're killing everything we're doing. We're killing content.
Yeah, we're creating
new industries where we're revitalizing old ones. We're innovating, we're creating. We are hungry for knowledge, we're hungry to advance. We are going to be the titans of industry very, very soon. So I mean, keep your opinions to yourself, I guess, because it doesn't really factor into our
And I think that we're fighting for a lot of positive change. And I think that we're really pushing to make sure that we don't make the mistakes of former generations too.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I can't wait to
tell, like, no, you're gonna pay, you're paying the price for all of our mistakes, like global warming.
Oh,
like,
for you guys sure, didn't yeah.
do it, I can't wait till there's a millennials killed capitalism think pieces. That's the point I will end it on.
I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Okay, I wanna get to
Hey guys, I just wanna briefly chime in from Generation X myself. One word to describe Gen X would be the word slacker.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think
that's a movie too.
Exactly, and that's what I'm about to
that's
bring
such a
up
baby
because
boomer criticism. Ah,
yeah,
slackers.
Right, but it's like the cool thing about it is that Gen X would take a phrase like slacker, own it, and turn it into one of the greatest movies ever made. So if criticisms of millennials are being piled on, just pick some of those criticisms, own it, and turn that lemon into lemonade.
Well, I think that's what Jacory basically is saying. All those criticisms are actually positive attributes, but you don't know it. But I did want to get to the one other totally true, totally bullshit because it's related, and I really do want to get your take on it. So let's go to the next one, Irma, before we have to get out of here, which is criticism of millennials is not really directed at all millennials, but rather at a certain group of middle to upper class, predominantly white suburbanites. Totally true or totally bullshit? And I don't know. I just came up with this question because it seems to me that this is potentially accurate, but I haven't seen a lot of discussion of this. That, you know, when the people who write those think pieces, Haas, you can come back to us, Irma. The people who write those think pieces are from a certain demographic, and they're probably talking about their own kids or kids or people that they know within that social strata.
The David Brooks demographic?
Yes. And that you know, that is not really true of a lot of people who are not, you know, are not white necessarily, don't grow up in the suburbs, don't have, you know, wealthy parents, but that, you know, how big is this demographic of this subset of this, the millennial, you know, the larger millennial community, if it is a community, are they really talking about? Are they talking about people who are, you know, parents are Vietnamese immigrants? Is that, you know, is right. that are millennials that are they, yeah. do they get painted with this broad brush? So that's all. I'll start with you, Haas. Is that really? I don't even remember what the question was now. So the criticism is not directed at all millennials, but it's really just at a small subset of a certain socioeconomic status.
The criticism is directed at all millennials. That's the concept behind generalization. So I don't know which part to answer.
No, totally, so totally what I think the question is trying to focus on is saying, is it meant to be directed at all millennials, or is the perspective that they're getting of all millennials, or is the perspective that they're seeing of millennials that small, predominantly white, upper middle class, suburban millennial? Like that's
totally
their experience.
Bullshit.
I got to see the question again.
Yeah. Wow, you did a really good job with this question, Malcolm.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Criticism of millennials is not really directed at all millennials, but rather at a certain group of middle to upper class, predominantly white suburbanites. So, like when I hear that, you know, you grew up. This is a generation that grew up with Everybody Gets a Trophy Day. I think is that true of, you know, the kids who grew up with, you know, Asian parents who are tiger parents? You know, I don't think that's not them.
I grew up in Turkey, so like
right. You grew up in Turkey, or you know, if you're from the inner city and you're Latino or you're African American and you're grew up in, you know, working class, was that true in your elementary school also?
I don't think
it is. So it seems to me that this is directed at just. It's just supposed to be like you guys are the slackers or the lazy ones who are ruining it, and it's not. But they say all millennials, and it's really sort of it's another way of marginalizing communities who are not part of the dominant. White.
It's a skew of their representation. I'm not even sure if it's intentional. I think that's their representation. That's the millennials they deal with, and I think that's. It's kind of hard to scratch the surface of, but I think that's kind of the topic of white privilege, where you kind of get to assume that everyone looks like you, that my kid's the representation of everyone else around you. There is. I think an undeniable presence of there are other people living other experiences. In my life and a lot of my peers that grew up in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods, there's a very acute understanding that there are other existences out there. You see the way other people live, you notice the way other people operate within their communities, and you understand that. But this is coming from, oh, well, we're the majority, that's what our kids do, so that's what all kids
do.
No,
it's that that's and also the true. Fact that the majority of these people that write these articles that dictate the conversation in popular culture are like Harvard fellows and Yale professors that only are surrounding themselves with very upper middle class or extremely wealthy and predominantly white families and white children. And that's precisely why they have this representation. Having said that, given the fact that I said these generalizations are completely untrue for all of millennials, I'm going to also double down and say all of these generalizations are untrue for all upper middle class white children from suburbs as well.
So they're not even accurate for the group that they are really describing. But I do, I mean, I think about that when they, you know, this story about, or whoever it was who said that they're, with the avocado toast comment. And I think, you know, there's 800,000 dreamers. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The number? Yeah. They're millennials, right?
Right.
Are they those 800,000 dreamers? Are they the ones who are eating all this avocado toast and blowing all their money on avocado toast?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is totally true of a certain demographic, though, because I have heard so many times, like, where I went to school? I don't have XYZ job. Like, there's a certain sense of entitlement that does come from that certain upper middle class suburbanite upbringing. It does come with, I did XYZ, I followed all the steps, my dad is this person, and he wants me to be this person, so I should be this person. Why am I not? Whereas myself and, like I said, a lot of my peers and even a lot of the people at TYT had a hunger because they came from nothing, their parents came from nothing, and they built themselves up to be where they're at. It wasn't a matter of my dad should give it to me. And of course, this isn't to say for all minorities or for all people that grew up suburbanite, but I think generally it provides for these environments for you to have this perspective of life.
I guess that's what I'm saying with the question is there's an implicit racism and classism in the criticisms of millennials. People don't even realize their own biases that when they say these things. And that's what I was trying to get at, I guess.
Yeah. May I jump in?
Imperfectly phrased question. Yes, Gigi.
So is this only referring to the US or just globally? Because it is very classist. It's like if you look at, I come from a family in my family in Armenia. They grew up in the village. They don't have access to technology. They don't have the brand new iPhone. They work hard. Like they go to school and they go and they work in the fields afterwards. That's their fucking life. Like,
where does avocado toast fit in your family's lifestyle?
Right.
I'm just trying to.
Do they have a giant instead of like a scythe to cut the wheat? They have just giant fidget spinner that cuts the wheat.
Like, why
did
they
spin it and go along?
Did they kill the hand soap industry? Like, these are questions I have.
Is that one of them? Kill the hand soap industry?
I think. But also a point to make is that it's not only criticizing like this particular group, but that the criticisms are coming from that particular group. This kind of like an entitled group that thinks like, oh, well, if you work hard, you get a job. Like if you don't have a job, you're lazy. Like if you can't afford to pay your rent, like you're lazy, you're not doing enough. It's not because you have crippling student loan debt or anything else like that. So I think not only is it criticizing a really entitled, privileged, potentially group.
We're just talking about Republicans, right? Like let's just say.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that statement.
Waspy.
No, you're all wrong. My generation's the best. We had it all set, and then you had to come and ruin everything.
I know.
The worst.
Damn right.
All right, we're getting kicked out. They're kicking us out. They're kicking me out. Guys, thank you so much for watching your Friday post game. I hope you enjoyed the Millennial Edition.
I made something for you guys.
Thank you so much to Haas. Is that like a barista?
Is that a giant thing of avocado toast? Yeah. Is that like a giant tray of mini avocado toast?
Is it giant or is it just a perspective where he's like holding it out in front of us?
He's holding it out. Yeah.
All right, Ja'Cory, thank you very much, Ja'Cory Palmer for joining us. Asher as well. We love you guys and thank you so much for helping to make TYT run.
Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Asandi Piker.
Don't do that. And as always, we like to conclude the Friday post game by saying, stay strong.